Great mercy and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Amen. With only 7 days of class left in the quarter, if you were to ask any fourth-year guy who is anxious to go out on his first call what he feels about these next 7 days, he probably would unwittingly quote our text for this morning. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Well, to us, that does not come as a surprise. But what does come as a surprise is that this text is in the Bible. Wait a minute. I thought God's holy word was a place that you can go to seek comfort, to find strength and encouragement when feeling these same feelings, feelings of meaninglessness. Why, even after a quick glance through our text, it seems that our non-Christian friends and neighbors have a better grip on life than this teacher, and they may even want to give us a comforting, now then, it's not as bad as it seems. Life is not as meaningless as it appears. Why, even the biblical scholars liken this teacher to the pessimistic donkey of the Winnie the Pooh story. Remember Eeyore? You can hear him now, can't you? What's the use? My tail fell off, and it's going to rain. Oh, dear, we're not going to make it. This teacher seems to be the Eeyore of the biblical writers. Meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. At first blush, it seems that this teacher, this so-called teacher, has got it all wrong. What do you mean that life is meaningless? Look around you. Look around us. We are constantly being told that life is not meaningless. There are things that you can do to find meaning in this world. You can go to the self-help section of the bookstore. You can find meaning there. You can find meaning within yourself. Teacher, listen to the advertisements that you hear around yourself and around us. They tell us where to find meaning. A department store saying, get the good life. All we need is their product, and we can have that wonderful good life. Athletic shoe stores scream out for us to just do it. We can go about life just doing it, doing whatever our heart desires. That we can get a meaningful life. Credit card companies ask, what is in your wallet? That's it. We just need their credit card to have meaning and to have a meaningful life in this world. An automobile manufacturer encourages us to grab life by the horn. That's it. That's the ticket, teacher. You need to take control of your own life. Sure, we have our ups and downs. Sure, we feel depression every now and then. But you need to take control of your own life. Who are you, teacher, to tell us that life is meaningless? Well, now, that's a good question. Who is this so-called teacher in our text for this morning? The book of Ecclesiastes gives us a few clues to help us. The beginning of the book starts out, the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. If you read on in chapter 1, the teacher tells us a little more about himself. He said, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom far more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. A king who was the son of David? who was the wisest of all the rulers to have ruled over Jerusalem? Does it ring a bell? 1 Kings 3:12. The Lord says to King Solomon, I will give you what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there have ever be. So this teacher was King Solomon himself. So we can't just simply write off this teacher depression and plead ignorance, or to say, oh, he's had a hard life, or to say, oh, he was down on his luck, or even to say that he wrote this on a Monday morning. No, this teacher had the right pedigree. He went to all the right schools. He got a PhD level education. He was a philosopher. In fact, he even followed the rules of the world. Solomon had gotten the good life. With his material wealth, he expanded his borders of his kingdom far up to the limit that promised to Abraham, the largest it had ever been. Solomon did just do it. He had unlimited opportunities for fleshly indulgence. 1 Kings 11:3. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And Solomon followed that cry to grab life by the horn as he excelled in wisdom and knowledge. 1 Kings 4:24. All the men came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by the kings of the nation because they had heard of his wisdom. So when we consider the life of Solomon, we see that he was anything but a pessimist. In fact, there had never been a man more qualified to write about meaning and where it is and where it is not to be found, because he had it all. He had seen it all. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, all that doesn't seem to matter. We see the teacher draped in his royal kingly robe, with life having grabbed him by the horns. At the end of his proverbial rope, and he stands before the people and he tells us, life is meaningless, utterly meaningless, gone, empty, gone in a breath, utterly meaningless. What happened? We don't know for sure, but we know that to King Solomon, despite having all that he had, he saw life as meaningless. So the question now, teacher, King Solomon, is where do we find life in this world? The answer? The answer is found in what is not said, rather than what is said. Throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon traces his vain pursuit of wisdom and life. He has tried everything, but the one thing he has not mentioned is God. That's the key that the teacher comes to in the last two verses of our text. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat and find enjoyment? To the man who pleases him, or a more literal translation, to the man who is good before him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This is the answer. Well then, if God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to those who please him, to those who are good before him, then please him. No, that won't work, because we are the sinners. We are not the ones who are good before him. The teacher even admits a few chapters later that there is not one righteous man on this earth who has ever done right and never sinned. So now what do we do? On the one hand, we need God in order to have a meaningful, good life. And on the other hand, we know that we are sinners, that we are not good enough to stand before God. It seems that in this text, all we discover is what we cannot do. But isn't that true? We cannot, by our own reason or strength, come to God or even please him. All this business of trying to find meaningfulness or to attempt to claim a life for ourselves only reveals that we are unable to do anything to make our life meaningful. And so doesn't that just make us want to fall on our knees, cry out in utter despair? Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. But the teacher has a word of encouragement for us in chapter 12 when he encourages us to remember our Creator. For without God, life, even the good life, is meaningless. It's nothing. Nothing at all. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Who was the one who created life in the first place? Who alone gives life and sustains it? But the one who made man out of dust and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Who alone can restore life, that life ruined by sin? And here is where God acted for us. He sent us another teacher, the teacher, who also is a son of David, God's own son, sent down here with the same message as Solomon. Without God, life is meaningless. Don't store up things for yourself, but be rich toward God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. The results? The scribes and the Pharisees planned to kill him, and they did just do it. The trial where Jesus stood draped in a purple robe, but this was given to him out of spite. This purple robe splattered with his own blood. Jesus, too, was placed before the people, nailed to a tree with a sign above his head proclaiming, "This is the King of the Jews." And Jesus, seemingly at the end of his proverbial rope, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he died. It seemed that life had grabbed him by the horns, and it killed him. But you see, that's it. Jesus had his life, holy, innocent, unblemished, given up as a ransom for many, so that in his death, our old, meaningful life might die. And then through Jesus' powerful resurrection, Jesus took sin, death, and the devil by the horn, and he conquered them so that we too might arise to new life. Recreated by the power and the graces of him who created life in the first place. So through this resurrection, victory, and hope through this forgiveness of sin earned by Christ for us. We have that good life, the best life, the meaningful life. It is life founded and focused on Jesus Christ, our Savior. So when we can look at life, we can say through Jesus, meaningful, meaningful, life is meaningful. Thanks be to God. Amen.